Welcome back to EV News Daily. Coming up today, battery pack prices keep falling, the NACS standard is improving, and Ford Germany are launching the Power Promise. Plus, stay tuned because later in the show, I'll tell you why megacorp Stellantis made a good bet on their EV investments. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story so you don't have to. Patreon supporters get the shows ad-free. You can be like them by clicking on a link in the show notes. Welcome to a new podcast producer, Gale Galloway. Gale, G-A-L-E. Thank you, sir, for signing up. Patreon supporters like Gale put this show on the air. You can do the same. Click on that link in the show notes. Now, let's get into this great story about battery pack prices continuing to fall. Last year in 2024, they were down another 20%. Global lithium-ion battery pack prices falling 20% last year, marking the largest annual decline since 2017, according to the International Energy Agency. This reduction supports lower electric vehicle costs, and EV cars and trucks remain the main drivers of battery demand globally. China saw the biggest price decreases, you won't be surprised to hear, reflecting their lead in the supply chain. The report saying that lithium prices in particular were down, reaching similar prices to those in 2015, despite lithium demand in 2024 bit 6 times higher than 10 years ago. Battery pack prices fell in all markets, but China's price advantage widened. Hybrid battery pack prices actually cost a lot more per kilowatt hour than the ones we have in our full BEVs. That's because in a mild hybrid with a little teeny-weeny tiddly battery, their components are spread across fewer cells, increasing the cost per unit. The price of such components is spread across fewer cells, and that increases the price per kilowatt hour. Last year, the average price of a 20 kilowatt hour battery pack in a plug-in hybrid, roughly the global sales weighted average for standard plug-in hybrids, was about the same as a 65 kilowatt hour pack in a pure BEV. Well, China holds nearly all production of lithium iron phosphate batteries, at least for now. Got some news on tomorrow's podcast all about GM, also LG and Samsung making plans to make LFP cells on US soil. But for now, they're pretty much all coming from China. They made up nearly half of the of the electric vehicle battery market last year. LFP output rose 90%, in the European Union and in the United States, far behind China. LFP adoption grew in other regions, reflecting China's dominance in the EV industry for that particular chemistry. Okay, let's talk about how Tesla's NACS connector continues to get better. SAE International. Now, they are not, an official government body, but they've been around forever, for decades, and they are a standards, I guess at the end of the day, they're just a private limited company, aren't they? But they've been around so long, and they issue specifications and standards which industries rely on, that they become one of the de facto standards bodies. SAE International has released the Dash 2 specification of NACS, or what I should call SAE J3400, or just J3400, or just NACS, call it what you want, call it the Tesla connector, if you will. But it's no longer Tesla's, it's now been taken on to an independent standard. A new specification defining the details of the connector. These are things like the mechanical and architectural details and the inlets for NACS or NACS. The standard establishes the precise physical dimensions and the structural requirements of the connector. Actually, some of the design of it is a little different. If you're a Tesla supercharger regular and you know the connector, it will look a little bit different. The new 2D and 3D models and mechanical drawings show how some of the plastic has been cut away, actually. There's sort of less to it. Now, part of that is to have more isolation, which allows 1,000 volts to run through this. And so 1,000 volts can now be done by the standard. Now, I believe that this change to the actual NACS connector was something that came from Tesla maybe over a year ago. And again, you don't expect standards bodies and agencies testing things to be doing their job in 5 minutes. You want to run through everything, don't you? So maybe it took a year to come out, but by standardizing these details, the Dash 2 specification of NACS allows any manufacturer, if they want, to design and deploy EV charging infrastructure using the connector. It's a critical step forward in the, at least I would say, the North American market. There's actually a few different protocols, communications, AC-DC power delivery, things like that. Security is a big part. Vehicle to everything, that can be done with NACS as well. And so the actual set of documents, there's J3400, which is the general requirements of the plug, how it transfers power, how they're interoperable, and things like that. You've got the Dash 1 specification, which talks about how the physical and electrical requirements will come together, and now the Dash 2 publication, which again changes the plug ever so. So it's obviously it's backward compatible, but they changed it ever so slightly. That continues to evolve. I find that very interesting because we are going to end up, aren't we, in a three-tier system. You're going to have Asia, or at least China and Japan on Shaoxi, you would think, which is kind of CHAdeMO, and China standard coming together. You're probably going to have NACS everywhere in North America. You're going to have CCS2 in Europe and everywhere else. And so we'll probably end up with three EV plugs. Not the end of the world. I mean, you know, one plug to rule them all wouldn't be the end of... Oh, yeah, I suppose MCS, as I talk to you and my brain kicks into gear, yes, you'll have megawatt charging standard. And Tesla seem to be doing their own thing on megawatt charging. So I guess it's more than three, but, you know, it could be worse. Now let's go to Germany, where Ford has introduced its Power Promise program. Last September, they introduced it to the US. So if you were buying a Mustang or a Ford F-150 Lightning or an E-Transit, don't forget that one, you got a free home charger. But you got a really good home charger. Then they expanded it to Canada and the UK, and now they are doing it in Germany, where, of course, in Europe, we also get the Capri, we get the Explorer, we get the Puma Gen E, we get the eTorneo, eTransit Courier. They receive buyers of those vehicles. You get an 8-year, 160,000-kilometer warranty on the battery, 2 years breakdown assistance, and also complimentary home charging for 5,000 kilometers. However, that's kind of worked out. I guess that's all very good. Now, Tesla is launching a Model 3 tow package. Tesla has released the official factory tow package for North America's Model 3. Threes. Now, until now, I didn't realize that if you wanted a tow, you had to go to a third-party hitch supplier. Now, this applies to the refresh. So-called Highland, that would be 2024 and later models. Rear-wheel drive and all-wheel drive, you can now get your factory-fit tow package, which, of course, I've known forever in the European market, at least the UK market. I can't think of a time when I've been playing around with Tesla's design studio when I've not been able to factory fit a tow bar. But anyway, didn't realize that was not a thing in North America. What will it cost you? $1,300 or $1,700 Canadian. You get a high strength steel tow bar with a 2-inch or 5-centimeter hitch receiver. North American standard 7-pin connector. We have 13-pin connectors, I think. Well, I think 7-pin was what I grew up with when Dad was towing trailers and stuff like that. So the 7-pin connector looks familiar to me. When I towed recently with the Polestar, of course, now it's a 13-pin connector we have. I guess if you're towing a caravan, you need some more electrics and things like that. The trailer harness, dedicated tow mode software updates as well. It's rated for 2,200 pounds, about 1,000 kilograms, I guess, equivalent compared to the Model Y, which is slightly more. I think Model Y is 3,500 pounds towing. Ball mounts are sold separately to suit different trailers. Shipping to a Tesla service center and professional installation are included in the price. The North American rollout follows, obviously, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, Asia, I think, have all been able to factory fit one for bloomin' ages. Now, finally, that's a good bit of Tesla news. This one is a bit of a head-scratcher. The New Jersey Turnpike Authority is not going to renew their contract with Tesla. They have ordered the removal of 64 supercharger stalls along the toll road linking northern and southern New Jersey. The authority has decided to work exclusively with a single third-party provider of EV charging. Tesla announced that it anticipated the outcome for 3 years and has already installed 116 replacement stalls off the turnpike to ensure uninterrupted service. They say, "We have been preparing for 3 years for this potential outcome by building 116 stalls off the New Jersey turnpike, ensuring no interruption. In response to the authority's request, Tesla will decommission the existing 64 superchargers on the turnpike itself." Tesla also saying that this is a decision which hurts EV drivers, and in the same breath saying, but it won't hurt EV drivers because we've been building others, but it still hurts EV drivers, but it won't because we've built new ones. So I can't work out whether they're really what they were saying with that. Beginning at the end of this week, June 6th, all service areas on the turnpike will transition to universal open access chargers supplied by Apple Green, compatible with obviously every EV. These chargers will launch at the different service areas along the route. Apple Green units are also slated for the Molly Pitcher service area in July and the Clara Barton and John Fenwick service areas by the autumn. Well, Tesla maintained that it proposed above market commercial terms to the Turnpike Authority, including putting in superchargers at every service plaza and adding upgraded features like video screens and NACS ports with CCS1 Magic Docks. But Tesla still called this a setback for New Jersey's EV goals. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll run through some... I'll tell you what, all the China numbers are out for May. And again, just more stuff to knock your socks off. Stick around, back in a mo. All right, welcome back to the podcast. Okay, let's talk a little bit about VW launching a new joint venture. VW's battery arm is called PowerCo. There's a Belgian cathode specialist called Umicore, and they have formed a new joint venture named IONWAY. Now, IONWAY is going to be Volkswagen's way to scale production of cathode active materials and the precursor materials in Europe. The partners plan to reach 160 gigawatt hours of annual capacity by the end of the decade. That's maybe 2.2 million EVs worth. The $2.9 billion joint venture will open its first plant in southwestern Poland, where the government is contributing $371 million, equivalent to about 350 million euros in grants. Construction will begin once permits are secured. Reuters noting that Poland was selected for its strategic location, skilled workforce, and access to renewable energy. Now, IONWAY will supply Volkswagen and with their European need of cathode materials in the EU. Grants Umicore a guaranteed share of the EV material demand. Cathode active materials determine battery performance. It represents the largest cost component, and it drives the carbon footprint. So it's crucial to get it right in making batteries, something the Chinese have been doing very well for a while. All right, let's talk about a new car brand that you might be buying sometime in the future, or maybe not, I don't know. Officially launched in April, Lepers will ride on the same platform shared with Omoda, Jaecoo, and Tiggo. Now, these are all Chery. These are Chinese, obviously. So there's a Chinese company called Chery Automobile, and they've got some brands in the UK. Omoda is one of them. Jaecoo is one of them. There's SUVs called Tiggo. They're not here, by the way. They make electric and plug-in hybrid vehicles. With Chery planning UK and European launches for all of those brands, dealers and media have been questioning which markets Lepers will be in. And let's get this one out of the way. Firstly, it's another sub-brand from a Chinese name you don't know. So if you were buying a Chery, I could kind of get it because there's going to be lots of cars that Chery make. But if Chery are launching these sub-brands for the UK and the European markets, whether it's Omoda, Jaecoo, Tiggo, now they're launching the Lepas brand, L-E-P-A-S, by the way. Do I say Lepas? Lepas? I think it's Lepas. And by the way, if I was a consultant for a Chinese car company, I'd say maybe stay away from a name that makes you think of somebody suffering from a chronic infectious disease with skin lesions and possible disfigurement and disabilities. I mean, leprosy is not really what you want to come to mind when you go, "What's your new car?" "Oh, it's the new Lepers. Do you like my Lepers?" Yeah, I mean, okay. However, maybe I say Lepas. Lepas. I mean, it looks like I say Lepers. which doesn't bring the right image to mind, does it? So, but it's yet another spin-off brand, and now people are saying, well, look, where are you going to put lepers in the UK or the European markets? They say that the name lepers blends leopard and passion. Okay, then. Now, Cherry pitches their marks on, they say, cutting-edge technology, generous standard equipment, and lots of choice. And you have to agree. So, you know, the Omoda here in the UK, it's a compact SUV, starts about £25,000, up against the Nissan Qashqai, fabulously popular vehicle, which is £5,000 more. So it is cheaper, if you don't mind the limited brand recognition, and also the risk that the Omoda brand, the Jaycoo brand, the Tigo brand, the lepers are going to still be around next time you need, what, some service and aftercare? Then we've seen in China the survival of the fittest and car companies that seem to be doing okay all of a sudden going bust. Not that I'm suggesting it's going to happen here. In the UK, beginning in October, Chery will introduce the Tigo brand, the Tigo 7 plug-in hybrid. They also have an off-road brand called iCar, as in Apple iCar, I lowercase I, capital C, like iPhone, but iCar. Now, I guess Apple didn't do their iCar, so there's no trademark to may infringe, or is there? Who knows? Chinese brands. I mean, their strategy outside of China is, it hasn't been faultless, by the way, and I think the sub-brands thing, regular listeners know this is just one of my little mini rants. I don't really do rants, but I do mini rants sometimes. There's just too many of them. It's far. You just can't at some point break through with just a ton of things. So good luck. Good luck, Cherry. I have seen those Omodas and Jaycoos flying around, by the way. So they are selling them. Anecdotal, I know. But still, let's talk a little bit about where they are doing well. And that is in their home market. And things, well, I could probably just summarise it and go, everything's good, end of the podcast, but that's probably not why you listen. Let me give you some, at least some details. BYD, kick us off. They sold 382,000 new energy vehicles last month in May, up from the same time last year. 15% increase. The company ended production of internal combustion engines back in March 2022, so they only make FEVs and pure BEVs now. Passenger NEV deliveries reached 376,000 units in May, which is pretty much all of their business. They also do some commercial stuff as well, but it's not as big. However, it is up 300% for BYD, their commercial bit of the business, but the numbers are like 5,000 in May, which many car companies would, you know, would bite your hand off for. Within passenger models, pure BEVs were 204,000 of the 382,000. Pure BEVs were up 40% year on year for BYD. Overseas was the big success story for BYD last month in May. Exports reached 89,000 units in May. That's up 137%. percent from the same time last year, up 12% from the previous month in April this year. It's six consecutive months of record international sales at BYD, so they are doing something right, but they haven't got a bazillion sub-brands. NIO, next in the news. NIO delivered 23,000 EVs in China in May. That's up 13% from the same time last year. The core NIO brand shipped 13,000 vehicles in May. There's a sub-brand, Onvo, as well, which was posting their results, which are also doing very well. From January to the end of May, total deliveries for NIO, 90,000 vehicles, 35% up on the same first 5 months of last year. What about Xiaomi, the EV bit of the tech company? Well, they sold 28,000 vehicles in May. That matches the April figure, and that extends their streak to eight consecutive months of more than 20,000 deliveries. They're preparing for mass production of the Xiaomi YU7, their first SUV. Of course, the SU7 sedan, not the YU7, but the SU7 was announced in March last year, and has gone on to sell, I think, hundreds of thousands. Great Wall Motor is another one. They sold 102,000 vehicles, up 12% year-on-year, up 2% month-on-month. Overseas deliveries, 34,500 Great Walls were sent outside of China to other markets. And Leap Motor, finally. Now, that is a company that Stellantis took a punt on a while ago. And it seems to have been a good bet. The Chinese EV maker, backed by Stellantis, delivered 45,000 vehicles. That is a new all-time monthly record for Leap Motor. 45,000 beats their previous record last year of 42,000, up 148% increase from the same month last year. Over the first 5 months of the year, Leap Motor delivering 173,000 vehicles. The company aims to sell up to 600,000 this year, doubling last year. So, a good bet made by Stellantis, actually. For various reasons, they invested in that company. No, not least, I imagine, to get that Chinese technology and to bring it to the kind of markets where Stellantis know and sell very well and have their, you know, Citroën and Peugeot and dealers and all the rest. And that's your podcast for today. Thanks to our premium partners, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse. Global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.